The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 86, text number 56, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on June 13th, 2008, in Melbourne, Australia.
So today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter number 86, text number 57. 56. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Characharam idam vishvam. Bhavaye chasya hetava. Man rupaniti chetasa. Man rupaniti chetasya. Dhatte vipra madikshaya. Translation. Because he has realized me, a Brahman is firmly fixed in the knowledge that everything moving and non-moving in the universe, and also the primary elements and its creation, are all manifest forms expanded from me. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jata Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitam Tam Sujima Sadaitam Savadhutam Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakonvitamscha. So, this is the basic fact of life. That the whole modern day society is missing. What is that basic fact? Everything comes from Krishna. This one fact, if it is understood, it will immediately solve every problem of the human society. Simply this one piece of information must be had, you see. That everything comes from Krishna. Aham sarvashamat prabhavo matak sarvam pravartate. It is confirmed also by the same wonderful Lord, Sri Krishna, in His own words in Srimad Bhagavad Gita. And it is confirmed also by Brahmaji in the Brahma Samhita. Ishvaraha Paramaha Krishnaha Satchirananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karanam. So if you trace everything back to its original source, there will you find the Supreme Lord Himself. Now the atheists, they want us to believe that all of this has come out of nothing. You see? But is that a very logical understanding? Do any of you here have the experience of something coming out of nothing? You see? Has this building come out of nothing? You see? Has Melbourne come out of nothing? Is there any scientific evidence anywhere in the history that any one thing has ever come out of nothing? There is no such evidence. You see? We have a huge ocean of evidence to confirm that everything comes from something. And that something came from something, and that something came from something. You see? So, if we trace back that chain of causality, sarva karana karanam, to that original cause, that is Krishna. Many people ask me, they say, well, what is the origin of Krishna? Brahmaji says Krishna has no origin, anadya. Or if you want to insist, no, but he must have an origin. What is his origin? Then his origin is Krishna, he himself, he's self-manifested. You see, why is Krishna manifesting himself? For the sheer pleasure of it. And he is manifesting everything else also for his own pleasure and satisfaction. So we have to see how everything is coming from Krishna. Therefore, if he is the manufacturer of everything, it is logical to understand he is also the owner. You see? That person who is producing everything from his own energy, he must necessarily also own it. And if he is the owner, what does that mean? It means he's the enjoyer also. You see, he is the rightful enjoyer. That person who owns something, you see, he is the rightful enjoyer. If somebody else takes your car, he grabs the keys and takes your car, he's a thief. You will call the police and have him arrested. Because he cannot enjoy your car. You see, it is your car. The owner, he is the rightful enjoyer. If someone tries to enjoy your wife, he is adulterer. You see, he cannot do. She is your wife, you see. No one else can enjoy. So, since Krishna is the owner, Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, as confirmed by he himself in the Bhagavad Gita, he is also the enjoyer of everything. Bhoktaram Jagatapasam, you see. So if we understand this simple point that everything is coming from Krishna, from that we can understand everything else. Simply we have to understand this one point, solidly, clearly, that nothing exists save and except by dint of the fact that Krishna is manifesting that thing from himself. You see. I one time gave a lecture at a high school in Helsinki. And I asked the children, why do you exist? And one child said, because my mother and father wanted to have a baby. You see? So that's bodily platform. Yes, that's why his body is there. There's no argument with that. But he's thinking simply the body. You see? The body is simply garment. That is everyone knows. In this Krishna consciousness movement, we all know this body is simply a garment. Today I put on a red shirt, tomorrow a green shirt. What's the big deal? You see, male body, female body, white body, black body, human body, so many. We have such a huge wardrobe. We have a closet with 400,000 different types of garments, you see. This material nature is a big closet. Today I'll be this, tomorrow I'll be that, this way. We've been going through the 8,400,000 species. Jalajana valakshani stavara lakshavingshati krimaya rudra sankhya ka pakshinam dashalakshanam shaktur chatur lakshani itse tringsha lakshani vashavaha chatur lakshani manushaha. It's clearly described in the Vishnu Purana. These biologists are in the dark. The Vedic biologists have long time, thousands and thousands of years ago, understood precisely how many species of life there are. You see. And these biologists are still trying to figure it out, and they've got it completely wrong. You see. So if we take advantage of this wonderful knowledge that His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Tri Dandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada is so kindly bestowed upon us, if we will live our lives in accordance with these divine principles, you see, then we'll be connected with His divine grace and all the acharyas in this wonderful, wonderful line that take us back to Krishna, back to home, back to Godhead. The Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Prabhupada Sampradaya, you see. This is the most wonderful, auspicious position to be in. In the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Prabhupada Sampradaya. That we can get the shelter of this greatest of all these spiritual masters. Take advantage of His full mercies. Dedicate ourselves fully to understanding and implementing with our every thought, our every word and our every deed, these wonderful, wonderful teachings that He has given us, then our achieving the supreme perfection of re-entering the eternal pastimes of the Lord in His transcendental kingdom is absolutely 100% guaranteed. Absolutely guaranteed. It's not if, it's simply when. You see, when I will go back to Godhead. It's guaranteed. If one fully surrenders to these wonderful teachings of Srila Prabhupada, then one will achieve that supreme destination. Absolutely guaranteed. And one will then meet face to face that person. Is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada explains, I was just reading yesterday in one lecture, he was saying that one should be very eager to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to talk with the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face in this lifetime. He said one should be very eager to achieve this. He said not in like a sahaja, but through service. One should be very eager to see and speak with Krishna in this lifetime. So Prabhupada is really offering us something very special, you see. He's offering us an opportunity to actually see Krishna even within this very lifetime. That's what he's saying, that we should be very eager. He quotes Rupa Goswami, Lalayam, eagerness. We must have this eagerness to see and speak with Krishna in this very lifetime. So, how will we do that? We have to become completely dedicated to Guru and Krishna, totally sold out servants. That we have no personal motives, no personal agenda. We simply want to do everything we can to make Prabhupada's mission a success. That's all. This is, I remember that one of the most wonderful pieces of advice I ever heard was from His Holiness Tamal Krishna Goswami. He was giving a seminar on the nectar devotion in Vrindavan. And he said we should simply pray to Srila Prabhupada to engage me in every way I can best serve your mission. That's the most wonderful prayer, actually. It perfectly situates the Prabhupada Nugas in pure bhakti. That mood that Srila Prabhupada, I can do anything and everything for you. Simply, whatever you want me to do, you let it be known to me exactly how I can best serve you, how I can best serve your mission. So if each and every member of this movement will take up this mood, then quickly we can attract the whole world. If we could all be totally, fully dedicated, just doing whatever it takes to please Srila Prabhupada, make His mission successful, then our movement will spread like wildfire and inundate the entire planet very quickly. So we all have to train ourselves, get out of this lusty, angry, greedy, mad, illusioned, envious mode that we sometimes find ourselves in. We wake up in the morning and really go deeply into, you know, pure devotional service. Ahaita kiya pratiyata yayatma supersedati. This will make our lives successful and it'll make this movement inconceivably successful. So, I can ask now if there's any questions. I guess it's time for me to go to the airport. No questions. Okay.
to introduce the Maha Mantra to some, like a group of people on the street, say during Harinam, what would you say?
Well, it depends. Whenever I ask these types of questions, I'd say it's according to the mentality of the people. You have to judge. I mean, I can give you an idea, but it could be not appropriate to the particular individuals, you know. But it really depends where they're at. I mean, back in the 60s, they used, to the countercultural youth, they used to have a little flyer, you know, tune in and turn on, you know. No more coming down. Yeah, that's what it was. Get high, stay high forever, no more coming down. I mean, depends on the mentality of the people. You tell them, if you chant this mantra, you'll get so high, you'll never come down. Why don't you chant it with us? I mean, that's one thing you could say. It really depends completely on the individuals. You know, it really, really depends. The main thing is not so much, as Prabhupada told me, he gave me a tip one time about how to sell people in Krishna consciousness. He gave me a personal tip. He said it's not so much what you say, but how you say it, you see. Because when we see that, like two book distributors, they use the same lines, but one is selling 100 books and then one is selling 10 books. It's the way you say it, the feeling, the emotion, the conviction in your heart. That really makes a difference, you see. Someone who has a burning conviction that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and everybody on this planet must have one of his books. They can say any number of things and be successful in selling a book just because they have that conviction burning in their heart, you see. That fire of conviction, you see. Just like we see when these these forest fires break out, you see. The flames will sometimes shoot through the air and they'll make some, the firemen trying to prevent it from spreading, you see. They will clear one area to try to keep the fire from spreading, but the fire's going to just jump over the open area that they made and then continue burning, you see. So there, if your fire is strong enough, it can jump right into their heart, you see. If your fire of bhakti is strong enough, it can jump right into their heart, and they'll be chanting and dancing, and they'll be amazed. I don't know what happened, but I was chanting and dancing. I was with this person, and he was so fired up, before I knew it, I was singing and dancing with him. You see, just your own, the main thing is your enthusiasm, Prabhu. Just be enthusiastic like Hanuman, you know, setting Lanka on fire with his tail, you know. You go out there on Harinam, I want to chant with so much enthusiasm that the whole downtown Melbourne will join this kirtan, you see. That's the kind of enthusiasm that, you know, will attract people. Because they're suffering like anything. Let's face it, I mean, it's miserable being this material world. Especially nowadays. I mean, God, the petroleum is so expensive, everybody's running, you know. People are giving up their cars now, riding on bicycles, you know. Things, it's really a lot of anxiety people are going through. How to keep their maintain the status quo, you know. So you give them some alternative. You don't need to worry about anything. Just chant Hare Krishna and you'll be happy. That's all you need. You don't need anything else. You get Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. That's all you need to be happy. If you're convinced, then you tell them, oh, wow, this is really amazing. Let me check this out. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Any other questions? Thank you for the nice question. Appreciate that. Yeah.
Stepping into the shade, like when you're in the sun, then you can't be in darkness. And when you're in the shade, then you are in darkness. So it's like
my dull ears are not. Try again.
Okay. Basically, so just trying to think of the question. How much? Sometimes when we push ourselves in service.
Mm-hmm.
Then we lose that enthusiasm and it affects negatively on our Krishna consciousness. Mm-hmm. How can we avoid doing that?
How are you going to avoid losing your enthusiasm? When you try to enthusiastically do service and all of a sudden, boom, your enthusiasm, like a balloon, it just pops and psh, it's finished? Kind of something like that? Well, it's a very simple thing, actually. If you study Bhagavad Gita, you will see there's the difference between the mode of passion and the mode of goodness. The mode of passion is nectar in the beginning and poison in the end, and the mode of goodness is poison in the beginning and nectar at the end. So we see many people come to this movement, they're all fired up, but then gradually they lose the enthusiasm. What does that mean? Their service was in the mode of passion. Their Krishna consciousness was in the mode of passion. They didn't. Of course, I'm not saying you shouldn't use your passion for Krishna. We have to do that, but we should combine it with sattva-gun. If you combine your passion with sattva-gun, you see, and you keep those working together as a team, that's why we have the Bhagavatam class. That's why we encourage Bhakti Shastri. Prabhupada wanted everyone to become Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, in this way, to become very learned, to see everything through the eyes of Scripture. If you have this Shastra Chakshus, or you could say Prabhupada Chakshus, seeing everything through the eyes of how Prabhupada sees it, and you can analyze everything through the Prabhupada's way of seeing things, then that will carry you through all the ups and downs of the neophyte stage of devotional service, where you're sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes not enthusiastic. If we simply act out of passion, we will definitely lose our enthusiasm eventually. So we have to cultivate sattva guna. Prabhupada said, therefore, you should always be engaged in studying, and you should always be engaged in doing service. So we have to have a philosophical vision while we're, you know, working very hard day and night to make this movement and this temple a success. We should keep a philosophical vision the whole time. See everything through the eyes of Scripture. Whether you're cleaning the toilet, distributing a book, offering an arati, managing the temple, collecting money, whatever you preaching to guests, whatever you may be doing, see it through the eyes of the Scripture. And that will empower you, that will enable you to remain very steady in that service. You see? Does that kind of answer your question? Okay. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Aniruddha Prabhu.
You mentioned that if we see Krishna as the source of everything, then we can solve all of our problems.
Yes, that's right.
What happens sometimes is devotees become discouraged when, despite Krishna consciousness, they still have problems.
Mm-hmm.
They put Krishna in the center. They know that everything comes from Krishna, and yet still there are problems in life.
Yeah, like, I mean, like disease, you may come down with cancer. I mean, yes, that's a reality. What do you do? In fact, I'm writing something about that today for my Thought for the Day newsletter. I'm writing on this point, how to cope with and transcend suffering. Because it's something, there's different, there's mild suffering, acute suffering, and absolutely devastating suffering. Now how do you deal with it in a Krishna conscious way? Well, I put Krishna in the center and now, you know, I'm going deaf. It's no fun going deaf. It's just I'm dealing with that myself, you see. And somebody else, they come down with terminal cancer, somebody else this, you know, different thing. So how do you cope with these things that, you know, I gave everything to Krishna and now look what I'm getting, you know. Yeah. You see? Well, there's a wonderful verse which I meditate on again and again and again in the Bhagavatam. Tatte nukampam su samikshavano punjana evatma kritang babakam tadvagvapurvir vidadang namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhak. My dear Lord, those persons who were constantly awaiting your causeless mercy to be bestowed upon them, who continue suffering the reactions for their past misdeeds, meanwhile always offering you respectful obeisances from within the innermost core of their hearts, are certainly eligible candidates for liberation. Indeed, it has become their rightful claim. So somehow or other, we have to see everything as Krishna's arrangement, as Krishna's mercy. Even if it seems that it's wrong or it's bad, we have to understand somehow Krishna is giving me this to purify me of my past misdeeds. Because, of course, you may say, but I'm initiated. I'm supposed to be free of all my karma. What is this past misdeeds? But no, Prabhupada explains there's a token reaction. We still get this when you get initiated, 99% is gone, but that 1% you have to deal with. And the 1% of your past misdeeds you still have to deal with, you see, even after diksha. So that comes in the form in various ways. You see, different types of suffering conditions we sometimes face. So we have to see that somehow or other, you know, I deserve worse than this, but I'm still getting a token reaction. Now, how do I deal with it in such a way? Now, one thing is this, of course. Of course, our basic philosophy, I'm not the body. So if I think that I'm going deaf, you see, that's an illusion. I'm not going deaf. The body may be going deaf, but it's not me, you see. So we have to, there's the external energy and the internal energy. By taking shelter of Guru and Krishna, that situates us in a different vantage point, you see, seeing everything from the perspective of the internal energy, not the external energy. So, instead of thinking I'm going deaf, I can think, well, that body out there in the external energy is going deaf. It's not me. It's something happening out there in the external energy. That's one very good way to distance yourself. Don't identify with the external energy, even the slightest bit. I'm just an observer of the external energy. I'm engaging it in Krishna's service. I'm observing it, but it has nothing to do with me. I'm simply observing it and using it for Krishna, that's all. So in this way, you can situate yourself in your actual identity as a spiritual being by seeing it's something out there in the external energy. It's not me. So this sort of philosophical detachment and praying to Krishna, thanking him for his mercy to free me from the reaction from my past misdeeds, and to know, sure and certain, that this mood will definitely liberate me from all the repetition of birth and death. You see, Krishna says they're already liberated. So that position actually puts us in a liberated position. That mentality, that vision, puts us in a liberated position. That even at the moment of death, you see, we're solidly fixed in that position. Even the moment of death, it won't faze us. Which is the ultimate death for all of us, death, you see. So in this way, we can take whatever sufferings are coming to us now as a special blessing. It's a training for death, actually. Take it as a special mercy, training for death. What is it?
Can these situations be a test for unconditional devotion to Krishna?
Absolutely. If someone says, "Well, I'll be a devotee as long as Krishna gives me a healthy body and health and wealth," then I'll be a fired up devotee. But if I become sick and I become poor, then I'm going to give up Krishna consciousness because Krishna didn't take good care of me. Actually, Prabhupada comments on this. I remember one lecture. He said that not that if I'm suffering I should think, well, I will leave the temple because I'm unhappy. He said that is not surrender. Surrender means whatever condition Krishna puts me in, that is all right. You see? Whatever condition. That is surrender. Krishna can give me happiness, he can give me misery, he can give me honor, he can give me dishonor. He give me any. We pray like that, the Shikshastik. You're free to do anything that you want with me. I'm your unconditional servant. You can embrace me. You can make me brokenhearted by, you know, whatever you do. You handle me roughly. Handle me gently. Ignore me. Whatever you want to do, Krishna, it doesn't matter because I belong to you, and that's it. I'm your property. Do with me as you like. So these, whenever we face, you know, different degrees, you know, mild, acute, or devastating suffering conditions, we should just, you know, you should, and that would say, hey, this is an opportunity to become sober, become more sober, see everything through the scripture. It's not easy. I mean, it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. It's difficult. It's very difficult. Especially when the more the suffering becomes acute, it becomes more and more difficult. You wonder, why is Krishna doing this? Why? Yeah.
My experience is that you'll have a difficulty.
Different?
You'll have difficulty. You'll experience
it. You don't experience it. You have a difficulty.
No, not.
You have a difficulty.
Yeah?
No. My experience is, you'll have difficulty.
Difficulty, yeah, okay.
But then something good will happen also.
That's right. That's
it's right. Not always.
That's right. That's
sometimes
right.
In your service it'll be tough.
Right.
And what you worked for apparently didn't come. But then the next week the result comes, but it comes in a very, very different way.
Right.
Then you appreciate actually Krishna is behind all of this.
Yeah, that's right.
So, you know, it may be really bad today. Tomorrow will be something else.
Some incredible surprise, some wonderful thing happened. That's a thing. We just had to keep our faith and then we'll be amazed. Wow, that's amazing. Look what Krishna did. This is amazing. It's a thing.
So it appears as if it's a loss. It looks like a loss.
That's right. It looks like when all hope is lost, you know.
But then the next day you'll realize actually it was the best thing that happened to me.
It's actually, I mean, look, here's a nice example. Look in the Krishna book, you know. They just come from Kali, they just come after Krishna's Sidhu Kali. They're on their way back. It's a joyous thing, you know. Krishna is saved now. Kali was subdued, driven away from the Jamuna. Now the Jamuna is cleaned up from all the poison. Everything's great. And they're going back and all of a sudden this huge forest fire comes to kill everyone, you know. What to do, you know. Complete anxiety that we're being devoured by a forest fire. Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. But then, sucks the whole thing up and everything's fine again. So sometimes if it's like that, we feel like we're being devastated by a forest fire on all sides. All hope is lost. It's finished. But we just have to go, Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then, everything's fine again. So Krishna puts, why does Krishna put the Brijabasis through this, you see? They're already pure devotees. Actually, it's rasa. Krishna wants to enjoy. Krishna takes great pleasure in seeing how much they can feelingly take shelter of him. It's a great pleasure for him to increase their feeling, that he wants to see that love they feel for him is increasing, 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 increasing. So he puts them into apparent difficulty. Actually, there's never any difficulty. It just appears to be difficulty. But those apparent difficulties are simply there because Krishna wants to extract more and more and more love from us. That's what he wants our love. He's greedy for our love. So he puts us into difficulty so we can, just like he put the Vrijabhasis in the difficulty, to extract more and more love out of us so he can reciprocate. Not in a selfish way, but he wants to reciprocate love with us. So he puts us into difficulties so we can increase our feelings of love and dependence, so he can give us more and more of his kindness and love. That's a wonderful question. Thank you, Anirudha Prabhu. Any other questions? Yes?
Sometimes they can be very difficult to others.
Sometimes what? Try one more time.
Sometimes our health can be...
Our health is what?
Difficulty for others.
Difficult for others.
Oh, okay. Difficult, okay.
Yeah. What do you say about like a devotee who suddenly is no longer useful to services and then all of a sudden, you know, it becomes...
So are you asking from the perspective of how we should see that devotee or how the devotee should see his own position? Or both.
What happened to that devotee? Yeah.
What will happen?
Yeah.
How should we look after them?
Yeah.
Hmm?
How should we look after?
How should? Well, Prabhupada very much. One time, Shama Sundar became very sick, and no one looked after him. And Prabhupada, I think it was Shama Sundar, maybe it was Gurudas. Anyway, I forget which devotee, but Prabhupada was very unhappy that the devotees didn't care for that devotee. He said, if I would have known, I would have personally taken care of you. If I had known that you were sick and no one was taking care, I would have personally taken care of you. So Prabhupada is teaching us in that way that we should take care. I remember when Vishnujan Maharaj, when he was a young brahmachari in the San Francisco temple, he fell sick. And so Prabhupada let him move into his own quarters because it was a better atmosphere for recuperating. Can you imagine? He actually, Prabhupada took him into his own quarters to live there until he got well. So we should be very, very compassionate upon the devotees. And we should not think, oh, Prabhu, you're not the body. No, we should say, this Krishna is blessing me with a wonderful opportunity to serve this great personality more than I normally have an opportunity to serve him. Let me take advantage of this opportunity. I remember one time I first went to Mayapur back in the early 80s. One of the other brahmacharis got sick. And so I personally went and got a doctor and brought him there to the long building, into the room. And that devotee never forgot. Years and years later, he's never forgotten that I brought a doctor to him. I went to the trouble of going and finding a doctor and bringing him to the room to help him, you see, in that condition. So the more we can have loving relationships with Vaishnavas, that's how we become pleasing to Krishna. So take someone's sickness as a great opportunity now to go out of your way more than you would normally do. It would be just to serve that devotee. That's the best thing. Okay? Comment, and it seems that we're very surrendered.
Yes, as a Grihastha couple.
That we're very. We're very.
Grihastha couple, serving each other in your devotional lives and keeping Krishna in the center.
Well, it's actually, we personally don't take any credit for. But we give all the credit to all the devotees who have blessed us with their association. Srila Prabhupada is there. I'm on my own. I'm a hopeless disaster, actually. But because I'm blessed by so many Vaishnavas over the years, different examples I've seen, different instructions I've gotten over the years, I've taken advantage of all the mercy of Prabhupada and his followers. And by taking it, so I give the credit to Prabhupada and his wonderful followers. Just like Tamala Krishna Maharaj one time said in Dallas, he said, show me a successful marriage whose middle name is not compromise. You see? So I always remember that nice instruction that he gave. And it works. There's another nice example. And I don't know if you have here, but in Texas, where we have our ashram there, the hurricanes sometimes blow in off the Gulf, very powerful winds. They can knock everything over. They can break the glass on your window. They can knock the trees completely over. Very powerful winds. So it is said that the trees that bend do not break. But the trees that don't bend, they break. So, in any relationship, whether it's husband and wife, guru and disciple, you see, we have to be very flexible. Of course, we don't ask our guru to be flexible. The guru is naturally flexible, actually, by his loving kindness. But in any relationship we have, we have to be very much flexible and not rigid. And it has to be my way. You see. We have to always think that I am not perfect. I am not always right. So let me always be sensitive to working cooperatively with this person. And in this way, We can weather all these storms that sometimes come. Just like the storms blow off the Gulf, we also have, within our own psyches, we have psychic hurricanes sometimes in our life. I have mine, you have yours. We all have our psychic hurricanes that blow in sometimes, you see. So we have to just be very flexible when they come and be willing to do whatever it takes to stay on course in our spiritual lives. I know when my wife's and mine traveling, we're getting our energy from all of you. Here we are in Melbourne, we're being inspired and enlivened by you, this wonderful community here where Prabhupada is so much present. This is one of the few places in the world where I feel Prabhupada's presence so strongly. I was talking to Anamuda Prabhu yesterday about this. This is a very, very special temple. Prabhupada is here. He's definitely here. He's on the Vyasasan. He's in his room. He's walking back and forth between the temple room and his quarters. Prabhupada is here in every square inch of this property. So if we take advantage of the wonderful atmospheres like we have here at the Melbourne Temple, and, you know, then we can rise beyond all the psychic hurricanes blowing off the Gulf of Mexico. Okay, anything else? All right. Speak up loudly.
Often there are obstacles and we get frustrated.
Obstacles? I picked up that word.
We get frustrated
when there's obstacles.
But how to be strict with yourself and lenient with others and not...
How to be strict with yourself and lenient with others and not...
Not take...
Be frustrated by obstacles?
Not be frustrated with others.
Oh, there was... frustrated with others, yes. Well, you've already answered your own question, Manaji. Stick with yourself and lenient with others. That's really that's the answer. It's right out of Prabhupada's books. It's a wonderful answer you've given for your own question. If I'm very, very lenient with others and very, very tolerant, but with myself I'm very strict. You see, that's the easy way. I don't know what... I mean, you've answered your own question so perfectly. I don't know what... Is there something more that you'd like me to explain? Are you satisfied or you want something more? Okay, so we're getting a little bit over time here. We'll stop here. Kantarad Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.